But we're starting tonight with a row over the Salisbury nerve agent attack, as former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia remain critically ill in hospital. The debate over who was responsible and the consequences of the attack is raging. Russia is to expel 23 British diplomats. Their foreign ministry says UK staff will be expelled from Moscow within a week in response to Britain's decision to expel 23 Russian diplomats. It also says it will close the British consul in Russia, which promotes cultural ties between the nations, and the British consulate in St. Petersburg. The UK government says they were poisoned with a nerve agent of a type developed by Russia called Novichok. The Russian government denies any involvement in the attack. Prime Minister Theresa May has been speaking about this today.
In light of their previous behaviour, we anticipated a response of this kind, and we will consider our next steps in the coming days, alongside our allies and partners. But Russia's response doesn't change the facts of the matter. The attempted assassination of two people on British soil, for which there is no alternative conclusion other than that the Russian state was culpable. It is Russia that is in flagrant breach of international law and the Chemical Weapons Convention. I repeat today that we have no disagreement with the Russian people. Many Russians have made this country their home, and those who abide by our laws and make a contribution to our society will always be welcome. But we will never tolerate a threat to the life of British citizens and others on British soil from the Russian government.
Well, Russia is not on its own in disputing Britain's claim that the Kremlin is most likely to blame for this. Let's speak to Craig Murray, who's a former British ambassador to Uzbekistan. Craig, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. So why are you not convinced Russia's behind this?
Because we've really not seen enough evidence to give such a definite conclusion. And because Theresa May, as you just heard there, is obviously milking it for all its trying to sound as Churchillian as possible and to, you know, distract attention from the obvious failures of her government in general. When you see politicians jumping on a bandwagon, trying to become terribly popular, getting well ahead of the evidence, then you have to be very sceptical.
But why would the British government respond in this way if they weren't certain?
Because, as you just heard, it's popular, they play it to advantage, and it fits in well with their current diplomatic stance against Russia. Anyway, you have to listen very carefully to what they said. And a phrase which you repeated, which they've used, that this was a weapon of a type developed by Russia. They said that in Parliament, they said it in the UN Security Council, and they said it in the joint statement by Britain, France, Germany and America. All those used the exact words of the type developed by Russia. And that's true. You know, I've got some vodka here of a type developed by Russia, but it was made in Warrington. The OPCW, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, has always been of the view that there's been no physical evidence that the Russians actually succeeded in synthesizing the Novichoks. Novichoks were successfully synthesized in 2016 by Iran in a controlled program with OPCW's supervision and reported the OPCW. And if Iran can synthesize, then so can many other countries, including the UK, including the United States, including Israel, and quite possibly including a number of states who might not be too careful of their security of what happens to them. And also, we have to consider that there may be countries who have a motive in setting up Russia, in framing Russia, in trying to damage Putin just as he gets re-elected, in perhaps trying to damage Russia's international reputation in response to the role Russia has played in Syria. So to say this has to be Russia is a nonsense. And it's what's particularly pernicious is that they're trying to develop that by attempting to imply only Russia has this weapon, which is completely and utterly untrue. And the reason that they always have to use the same phrase of a type developed by Russia is the scientists at Porton Dam refused to sign up to any stronger phrase. And there were very fierce Whitehall battles with the government trying to get them to say it was a Russian agent. And they wouldn't, because it isn't. Well, there's no evidence of where it came from and who made it.
Well, the NATO Secretary-General has told the BBC just yesterday that the alliance had, quote, no reason to doubt the findings and assessments by the British government.
Well, of course, NATO is controlled by its member states, and France and Germany and Britain and America have made the political decision to go with this line. That's not evidence. That's politicians talking. And when they say of a type developed by Russia, that shows they haven't said it's made in Russia, they haven't said it's produced in Russia, they haven't said it's manufactured in Russia. And no journalist at the BBC has said, why do you keep saying, oh, the type produced by Russia? Are you saying this is made in Russia? No journalist at the BBC has asked that of a minister, because the BBC is concerned with pumping out state propaganda as well.
Well, obviously, I would reject that. I'm one of the people who work for the BBC, and that's just simply not true.
And have you asked anyone from the government whether this was actually made, produced, or manufactured?
Well, I haven't had an interview with the minister in the government, but if I did, I would. And you're on the BBC tonight, giving a counter view. So I don't think there's any point going down this red herring of that we are some type of state-sponsored voice for the British government, because that is probably nonsense. If it's not Russia, who would it be, Craig?
Well, as I said, there are a number of possible alternatives. One of them is it's a non-state actor, which could be a Russian non-state actor. And obviously, you know, Mr. Skripal sold the names of Russian agents to the UK for money. We don't know the circumstances some of those Russian agents were in. They could have been operating in conflict theatres. You know, people could have died because of it. So obviously he would have a great many enemies, not merely the Russian state itself. But also, as I say, it could be another state wishing to play and pin the blame on Russia, particularly with regard to Russia's role in Syria. Could be, it's a good time to undermine Russia at a time when Putin appears to have played his hand very well and been, if you like, on the winning side of the Syrian conflict. And that brings in a great many of states who have a motive to do Russia down.
You mentioned Israel earlier on. We contacted the Israeli embassy. They said any claims that Israel is involved in the attack in Salisbury are preposterous and ridiculous.
Well, no more preposterous and ridiculous than it's Russia. I mean, Israel has chemical weapons. Unlike Russia, Israel has never signed the Chemical Weapons Convention. Israel refuses to declare its chemical weapons stocks to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. It should be said, Russia is a member, has signed the Chemical Weapons Convention, and 40,000 tons of Russian chemical weapons have been destroyed by the OPCW in a program under OPCW supervision, which finished last year. It's preposterous that Israel might do this. Why is Israel one of a tiny handful of countries, including North Korea, which refuses to sign or to ratify the Chemical Weapons Convention? It's not preposterous. It's a possibility. I'm by no means saying Israel did it. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Quite a number of people did it. That's why leaping to the conclusion it can only be Russia is simply wrong, when there's simply been no evidence presented to make that clear.
Stay there for us, Craig. Professor Ivor Gaber is a professor of political journalism at the University of Sussex. Was involved with Alexander Litvinenko when he came to the UK. Good evening to you, Ivor.
Good evening.
Hi. Do you think Russia's responsible here?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea. I have no knowledge of specifically. I mean, it looks like on the balance of possibilities, I wouldn't say probabilities, but that's not what I know. All I would talking about with my experience working with one ex-FSB agent and the insight he gave me into how London has become, at the invitation virtually of most governments, the centre of a very shady mixture of oligarchs, of spies, of mafiosi. The mafia wasn't entirely fictional, and it's not surprising that we've seen this spate of deaths, unexplained deaths of this class of people who we have welcomed in.
You're sounding a little bit distant from the phone, Ivor. I don't know if you can speak up for me or bring the phone closer to you.
Is that any better?
It's a lot better.
Right.
You weren't speaker, were you, or something like it?
I got a microphone, but I wasn't holding it as close to my mouth.
Sure, brilliant. Thank you. How does Russia operate? It's politicians, it's big business.
Stephen, I'm going to be one of those embarrassing interviewees who's going to say, that wasn't my expertise, that wasn't what I was writing about.
Sure.
I had a piece in The Independent today. I was writing about my personal experience with Litvinenko and with Boris Berezovsky and the insights that gave me into how this sort of swamp of Russian oligarchs, of spies, of gangsters operate in London, and why I'm not surprised that we've had all these unexplained deaths and why...
So how do they operate in London? Give me an insight into that then.
Well, the insight that I can offer you is the way that Litvinenko explained it to me in terms of a, how shall I put it, cause is the wrong word, the fact that many of these oligarchs and people working, espionage agents and Chechen separatists and other political activists and gangsters all know each other. They all have fairly affluent lifestyles, eating in the same restaurants, living in the same areas, know each other. And business is done, and sometimes that business turns bloody. There is very close links one can see between people close to Putin and business oligarchs, some of whom settled here, and they fall out with Putin and sometimes meet an unfortunate end, as happened to in the case of the one I dealt with, Mr. Berezovsky.
So Putin has the undisputed power, does he, if he wants to order the death of anybody? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure that I can't see any advantage to Putin or ordering the death of the MI6 agent in Salisbury. I can't see any immediate reason why he'd do that, but I could see that these people dabble in politics, they dabble in big business, and they get their fingers burnt, and there might well be people close to Putin who felt he was an embarrassment and they needed to get rid of him. But let me specify, I do not know and make no claim to know. I just had some passing acquaintanceship with that world, and I'm not surprised that we've had all these unexplained deaths.
The Foreign and Commonwealth Office, Craig Murray, have said to us tonight, we've no idea what Mr. Murray's referring to. The Prime Minister told MPs in Parliament on Monday that world-leading experts at Porton Down had positively identified this chemical agent. It is clear that it is a military-grade nerve agent of a type developed by Russia. None of that is in any doubt. Well, you've already covered that, Craig, and that you're zoning in on the fact that they're saying developed by Russia. They're unable to say whether it's made. Well, they're not saying whether it was actually manufactured in Russia or the source of it was from Russia, right?
Yeah, exactly. No one doubts that the Russians had the idea of making these things first and worked on developing the idea. It has always been doubted up till now that they really succeeded. The Iranians succeeded under OPCW supervision some time ago, and the chemical formulae were published to the whole world 20 years ago. So, many states could have done it. The other type developed by Russia thing means nothing, undoubtedly. I should say, I agree with everything the good professor said, and I think Russia could have done this. Putin probably does have the power to do this if he wanted to. And I think Russia definitely is a suspect. But that's far from the same thing as saying Russia did it.
OK. Craig Murray and Professor Ivor Gaber, thank you very much indeed.